Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu of Yahoo Sports Canada. And on this week's episode, I have writer at large, Alex Wong.
What's up, man? Who canceled today?
What happened to the at-large podcast, speaking of canceled?
It's just on hold, you know? I'm focusing on other behind-the-scenes projects at the moment.
Wow. Such as what, potentially?
There's just a lot of things I'm working on that I can't discuss right now. Okay. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I brought you in for a pod. And,
yeah, who canceled? I'm always the backup. I know this.
Nobody canceled. You know, it's just Blake's out of town. You know, that's all.
You messaged me at the start of the third quarter of the Phoenix Suns game. It seemed like a last minute thing.
It was 11:30 p.m. and I sent you a message like,
yeah,
yo,
that's
please.
What I'm saying. Who canceled?
I appreciate you being available.
I'm always available for you, man.
You do live like 2 minutes from here. All right.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Exposed you.
Don't GPS me.
Normally, on Run It Back and on Around the NBA, you do the legwork and you come up with the topics. Today, I've decided to return the favor, so...
What do you mean return the favor? This is your podcast. Did you expect me to show up and prep for you?
I do appreciate what you prep for me, but... Yeah. I'm going to give you 7 questions, all right? Okay. I'm going to provide you some numbers and I'm going to ask you basically true or false, but basically 7 questions. Let's first have the pod... Then we're going to take a break, and we're going to get to Twitter questions, and we have a lot of good ones this week. First one, is OG Anunoby making the leap? We just seen him have his best game of his career against Denver. We saw that game against the Timberwolves before this. OG Anunoby this season averaging 11 points per game, shooting 50% from the field. If you break it down, he's shooting 59% from two-point range, which is very efficient, and 37% from the three-point range. Also, on top of the fact that he's a very good defender, is OG Anunoby making the leap?
Not yet, but I think it does recalibrate kind of what expectations we might have of him for, say, the playoffs and for next season, right?
Okay.
Because I feel like OG's in a space where if you take away his last season where he missed most of it, was out for the playoffs, this is really like his second year in the NBA, right? And he doesn't turn 23 until later this year. He's in that space where, like, we don't have, like, specific expectations of what his ceiling is. Mm-hmm. I will say that, like, his performance recently, and, like, he had a really good stretch at the start of the season too.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
awesome.
When a young player gives you those glimpses, like, you do come to expect that, you know, maybe he can make that leap. Mm-hmm. So I guess my answer is no. I don't think you can count on him to be like this guy for every game, especially like the mix of like the offense and the defense.
Okay.
I think the defense is there, obviously. But, you know, I do think it does change the conversation of what we might expect of him kind of moving forward, like, next season and beyond.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, first off, the 32-point game was just was eye-opening. I mean, the fact that he had 7 steals in that is just incredible. But, I mean, I think, you know, like you said, like, this is what was expected of him this year. And I think him meeting expectations is great. Like, as a very efficient fifth option, pretty good. I already asked you this on Run It Back, but, you know, I do like...
I'm also going to give you the same answer back.
Yeah. I do 15 pieces of content per week, so there's only so much I can say. But, yeah, I mean, in your perspective, like, what's the next thing for OG to add to his game? On top of right now, where we know he's a reliable 3-and-D guy, yeah. Can guard pretty much everybody, efficient finisher, efficient three-point shooter.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just more the consistency.
Okay.
Like, okay. I think that's one of the things that... a lot of young players like struggle with, right? Like, I keep going back to the Boston guys. Wow. Just because I've been thinking about this.
Yeah, really sound like an old head.
Yeah, including
a lot
you,
of the young people these
yeah,
days.
Yeah, just young people are just really inconsistent in general. just people flaking on me on Facebook when I try to sell sneakers and stuff.
I'm still using Facebook.
Yeah, come on. But yeah, like, I've been thinking a lot about like the Boston guys too. Like, I feel like Jaylen Brown went through a little bit of that like last year.
Yep.
people were expecting him to make the jump. And to an extent, Jason Tatum as well, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think Jaylen Brown was a bigger disappointment maybe last year.
Yeah.
And now you look at them, and it seems like they're maybe closer to kind of that fully formed, like realizing those expectations that people had of them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So maybe OG has to go through that for this season and next season as well. And it's funny, like, you keep talking about him, and I think it's fair to be like, oh, he's always like the fourth and fifth option on the floor. But if we're going to raise kind of the ceiling for him, then should there be like more expectations of him of, you know, we want this guy to not just give us the defense and guard the opposing team's best perimeter player, but give us the 15 points per night. Like, is it time to expect that from OG? Because it's easy to be the fourth, fifth guy.
Sure.
And anything on offense is a bonus, right?
Uh-huh.
But at what point are you like, okay, like, no, like we actually want OG to be more than that.
Well, I mean, how many plays can you run for him right now? That's the thing, right? Like, yesterday in the win against Phoenix, obviously he was coming off that great game against Denver, and so the first possession of the game, I thought Nick was very smart. He called post-up for OG Anunoby on Dario Saric.
Dario Saric.
It's changed my whole perception of Dario Saric. But, yeah, I mean, you know, OG gets the post-up first possession of the game, and it was kind of an awkward thing, but he muscled his way in there. And I'm thinking, you know, this is something where you're not necessarily always going to call for post-ups because post-ups aren't the most efficient play, and he's not necessarily a dominant post-up player. But I feel like at least there, that's one way you can get OG more touches, right? In terms of on the perimeter, I don't really see them running too many plays specifically for OG. Like if the ball goes to him and he's open, he'll shoot it, and it's generally speaking a good shot. But they're not like running him off screens like they would with Norm or Kyle or Fred or anybody like that. And so I honestly think, you know, maybe you look at OG and you just think about, you know, he maybe has to add one more tangible thing to his skill set where you're like, that's his calling card. He can score on that play. We can run more from him for that perspective. But, you know, for the most part, he's done really great this year.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Raptors this year, too. I feel like everyone has either met or, like, exceeded expectations, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Except for some of the fringe guys, but, you know, they don't matter, yeah.
Well. All right. Yeah. This is not going to be one of those podcasts where we talk 20 minutes on Pat McCaw. Which, by the way, I mean, I can't believe after a really nice win against Phoenix, the shorthanded on the road, and everybody's just focused on McCaw, man.
Nick Nurse gave him a compliment.
Yeah.
Post-game, right?
He did. You know, Nick treats him, you know, with kid gloves, I would say.
Yeah.
Let me get the specific quote because I put out the video yesterday.
I think he said he scored 5 points, but he did a lot more than that or something.
Nick Nurse said, quote, "A lot of credit to Pat. Pat gets 5 points, but he had a hell of a game."
Yeah. He doesn't say that about anyone else.
No. No. Listen.
I haven't heard him compliment like Matt Thomas all year.
He doesn't.
Except for like, you know, Matt tries, yeah. The best compliment he gets is just like, you know, he tries, yeah. He really tries.
Yeah. I posted this at 1:45 a.m.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah.
So I'm spending my evenings.
Yeah. I didn't ask, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right, so number one.
We all work hard, yeah.
Question one, was OG Anunoby's making the leap? The answer is yes, apparently.
Yeah, that was not the answer, but sure, yeah.
Okay. Question number two. Marcus Gasol has missed 26 of 61 games this season and counting. Do you trust him to be healthy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm an optimistic person.
You're also 35?
Yeah, I think maybe this time with the extended rest, maybe it's the right way to go. I mean, he's already injured himself, like, what, twice this year, right?
On innocuous plays. The reason I brought you in is because you're also 35. In your experience, have you just been walking around the house and then you pulled something?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, I get, like, neck injuries.
Okay.
Back injuries.
Okay.
Just from, like, sleeping not properly. Also played basketball for the first time. Like 3 months ago for the first time in I think like 5 years.
Well, since you blocked me?
Yeah, and I like sprained my finger and like haven't gone to a doctor, but I'm pretty sure like I tore something in there.
Okay.
Like I still can't really like bend it or anything. Yeah.
Definitely get an x-ray.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with you, man. I'm just going to wait for that to heal. Yeah, it builds character.
So you're saying at 35 injuries do just
later. Yeah. So it's a hard question, you know, for sure. Like, you know, when it comes to like what groin injuries and hamstrings and things like that, those things can just go. That's why like, I don't know. Now they're saying that Mark is close to returning.
I don't,
because I thought, because didn't Nick originally say that they were gonna just play him the last like 8 to 10 games?
Yeah.
Maybe don't rush him back.
I mean, they're not rushing. He's 26 of 61. He's basically missed half the year already.
But even if he comes back at like the end of March,
Yeah.
Just to get prepped for the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know if we're like dying to like get wins right now. I mean, I understand there's a race for the number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, well, yeah, I guess if they fall to three, it matters because they might play the Sixers in the first round then, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think it's worth risking Mark back, so.
Okay.
Once again, haven't answered your question.
But, all right. Yeah, I mean, for me, I just don't know, man. It seems like a lingering injury because he had the injury at first, and then he missed time when he came back, and then he missed time with the exact same injury. So I don't really know what you do about that. I don't think it's something that needs surgery, but at the same time, you know, it's sort of just like you give it enough time to rest and then you have to go out there and trust your body again.
Yeah. And the Raptors like medical staff is not the type to rush people back.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So I think they're doing it. If he's coming back earlier than expected, then I'm sure they've done all the behind the scenes things to make sure he's okay.
Okay.
But I mean, man, like just, you know, instead of playing the last 20 games, just play the last 10. Don't risk the injuries.
All right, fair enough. The real reason I brought you in, Marc Gasol has had some interesting fits of late.
Oh, yeah. He's really turned it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Between you and him, there's been a big transformation in fashion this year.
Wow.
You're currently wearing a very fresh white Air Force Ones.
Yeah, you know, they're on sale right now at SVP.
Yeah, so you're staying loyal.
The street location.
Yeah, so you're staying loyal. Mm-hmm. They look nice. They'll look a lot better once they're like beat up a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So
they'll be beat up soon.
Yeah, I can't wait for 5 years. In 5 years when you're just shilling for brands. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And asking for your the password to your Instagram account,
which I currently run.
Breaking news. Yeah.
All right. Well. I'm following your footsteps, but yeah. I mean, Mark, the sweatpants look. That one was tough.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on because you know Mark really owned that space of just wearing team issued Raptors gear. Like he would just show up in like a Raptors tech fleece for like game six of the NBA Finals.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, everyone else is like trying their best.
Yeah.
To,
meanwhile,
like,
Serge has his manager like you know running to like department stores to get a scarf done.
Oh, scoop.
Just for a fit. But I'm not sure what's going on. I feel like Mark should just keep it low key. Maybe he's like a little bit peer pressured right now.
Maybe
with the Serge stuff.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems a little out of character.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna wear sweatpants, just wear sweatpants. Like you don't have to go halfway and be like half cargo pants, half sweatpants.
Yeah, that was a look. Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a look?
Yeah. No, like not a good look. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But what did you think about it since you're a rising star in the fashion industry?
Yeah, that's not sold at H&M, so I don't approve of that one.
Can we talk about how you made fun of one of Serge's pregame fits?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's just the shoes.
Wow. Yeah.
The shoes weren't fully
there. I'll keep calling you out on that one.
It's like red velvet cake kind of coloring. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Key question number three. Norman Powell is averaging 18.4 points on 52% shooting, 42% from three in his last 30 games dating back to mid-November.
This is like across two injuries, right?
Two stints. That too. But the fact that he's remained consistent since the injuries is pretty impressive. His true shooting percentage on the season is 62%, which is second to only Matt Thomas, obviously. Is he the best bench weapon in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, man. Who are even the other candidates?
I'll give you some other candidates. Yeah,
Spencer Dinwiddie?
Did a lot of preparation for this. No, we're talking more realistic guys.
Real teams? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to start because Kyrie's out for the year final officially.
Yeah.
Milwaukee. We're talking about Dante DiVincenzo and George Hill. George Hill having a nice year, but, you know.
No. Pass. Next.
Celtics. Marcus Smart sometimes comes off the bench for them.
Yeah, no. Norm's better.
Okay. Smart's also having a nice year.
Offensively, Norm's better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sixers, they don't have a bench at all. I mean, you could technically count Al Horford as a bench guy.
Oh, yeah. But, that's tough. Yeah.
But that doesn't really technically count.
Trying to think of what's the last worst signing before Al Horford.
What's
a signing that has just like 4 months in, 6 months in, completely just bombed?
Damari Carroll?
Yeah, but I feel like Horford was like a bigger pickup though.
Definitely.
Like Horford was like, oh man, they have been like hoarding them. They hoarded all this cap space.
Yeah.
They made all these trades. They gave up a lot of future assets and then decided not to keep Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
or Redick.
Now we're gonna reroute this money. And our big signings are Tobias Harris to the max and Al Horford as a backup. Anyways, that's a separate topic, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. That is truly bad, man. Honestly, that whole 2016
Okay, so the Sixers don't have any like crazy players off the bench.
I mean, Shake Milton is having a nice game, you know?
Yeah.
Have you heard of Shake? What's your thoughts on Shake Milton?
You know, he's cool. You know, congrats if you streamed him in your fantasy league for 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Wow. This guy really pulling out DFS moves.
Yeah.
Shake Milton. Yeah, I mean, he's...
Wow, you know, so Norm really might be out of the playoff teams.
And then Miami brings Iguodala off the bench.
Yeah. Has Iguodala done much since returning?
I think I saw a stat where he's putting up 4-2-2.
Okay.
But he's like...
I'm sure he's doing good. His stocks are doing good, I'm sure.
Probably, yeah. He's probably working harder on StockX than he is at basketball.
StockX. This guy's out of control right now.
This guy's wrong? Working computer share.
Yo, what's wrong with you?
The Raptors, my point is the Raptors might have the two best bench players in the Eastern Conference because Serge also comes off the bench.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Matt Thomas.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Serge off the bench. Although bench Serge and starter Serge are like two different people.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sometimes.
Fair enough. Fair
enough. But yeah, you know, honestly, what Norm has been doing has been ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And like we talked about this, just like the aggression and the decisiveness.
Yep.
Like, again, that's another player that had to go through like several years of losing his starting spot, not really finding his like comfort zone. And like, I don't know, for whatever reason, he's found it this year. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Everyone still wants Jamal Crawford. Like, there he is.
Yeah. No, people forgot about that part. You know, with Norm, I just think it's like he hit that age in life where he figured it out.
Not everything has to be a life lesson. I try to tell 20-year-olds, man.
What age?
Like, stop. You cannot compare Norm's rise to like some kind of like life lesson. But sure, go on. It's your podcast.
What age in life did you figure it out?
You know, I think life is just something that you figure out on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, all right.
So there's constant room for growth, whether you're 20, 25, 30, 35. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you're saying Norm's going to get better and better. Honestly, this is the best case scenario for Norm. Yeah. Like, I'm so thrilled with what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I'm not even surprised when he scores 20 anymore.
No, you come to expect it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so key to have someone in the second unit just kind of lift those lineups, right?
Yeah. We saw it against Phoenix. Like, they were down 17, and then Norm decides, I'm just going to score, like, 10 straight points.
Yeah. And the good thing about Norm, too, like, you've seen this in the playoffs, even when he was, like, a very inconsistent player. So it's pretty exciting to think about, like, what he can potentially do to, like, swing a game or two in a playoff series. And now that contract looks nice.
Yeah. So you're saying he is the bench weapon in the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, let's go with it.
And this is sustainable?
Let's go with it.
Okay. I'm just putting answers in your mouth at this point.
Yeah.
Burning question number four. The Raptors are +7 in points differential in transition in terms of the transition points they score versus the transition points they allow.
All right, what is this, man? Is this for too much hoops right now?
Is this sustainable in the playoffs? Some context, last year they were +5 in the regular season. They went down to +3 in the playoffs.
In transition.
And just transition point differential in terms of how many you score, how many you allow. 7 right now is high. Pretty much the Raptors' point margin right now is entirely that transition scoring.
That's a little worrisome, no?
Yeah. But I mean, you know, most of the best teams in the NBA have a really good transition differential.
Well, I'm sure that's going to slow down in the playoffs.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie, like, am a little bit worried about the team offensively.
Okay.
In the postseason.
Fair enough.
I think I've seen some stats too, just when they've gone up against like good defenses, like in the half court, the numbers have been like really ugly.
Yep. I mean,
saw a little bit of that against the Bucks, but again, it's really hard because like you can always go to the excuses that like, you know, Mark wasn't there, Norm wasn't there.
Sure.
Was Norm there? Norm didn't play, right?
Norm didn't play against the Bucks. No.
So like that's the thing. It goes back to Norm to Mark. Like Mark's such a big difference maker.
Yep.
Especially on the offensive end.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like having him in there healthy will fix a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, the question's all about the Raptors, is on the offensive end.
Right.
I mean, it's clear cut that, like, their defense is capable of, I think, slowing down or maintaining any of the top teams in the East, even Milwaukee.
Okay. Well, I mean, so that's a no for the transition thing. I kind of agree with you there. Yeah. That segues to key question number 5. The Raptors are 18th in the NBA in points per half-court possession. And the thing is, this is their lowest rating or league rank since 2014. In the years since, they've been in 2015, they were fourth. 2016, they were sixth. 2017, they were seventh. 2018, they were fourth. And last year, they were eighth in terms of points per half court possession. They're 18th this year. Now, the good thing is the Raptors are, I think, second in the NBA in terms of lowest you know, half-court possession percentage. They are, coincidentally, are also second in possession of plays in transition. So they play a lot of in fast break, and they're very good in fast break, as I just mentioned. But this 18th in half-court possession, I mean, what does it boil down to for you? Is it in the sense that the Raptors don't have like a clear-cut superstar they had in the past, or is it more injuries, or is it more system-based? What's going on?
I think it's two things. I think for sure it jumps out that, like, probably in past years, whether it was DeMar or Kawhi last year, you know, when the shot clock goes down or whatever, like, you have that one guy, right?
Okay.
To create the shot. But the other thing, too, is, like, you know, I do think the injuries probably mess with the numbers a little bit just because of, like, the lineups that are out there, too, right? Like, we see clearly when the Raptors, like, struggle on offense. It's when Nick starts, like, you know, mixing those types of lineups with the bench players and things like that. But, no, that's that for sure is very worrisome. I just got to see how the team is, like, in the playoffs when they run up against maybe, like, a Philly or a Boston. Like, how does it look, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to have to hold these teams to, like, 90 points to win? Because that's tough.
They might have to. The Raptors get far in the playoffs. And as far as their, you know, just abilities go, it's going to have to come on the defensive end. Offensively, I just don't – I mean, even with the, you know, Kawhi and DeRozan point, that is important. And, of course, like another guy that was really big for the half-court offense in previous years was also JV, who the Raptors just don't have that kind of guy who could play at the rim and dominate the rim this year.
Yeah, just get, like, easy baskets and things
like
that.
Yeah, like, just, like, post him up, get him a hook shot, score, and then put backs and stuff like that. The Raptors are really down on put backs. Ever since Nick Nurse took over, basically, the Raptors used to be a pretty good offensive rebounding team. Nick Nurse came in and was like, no, we're going to play defense. Everyone get back in transition. And so they haven't really been a great team at the rim in terms of putbacks. But it is kind of just weird to me. This is where I do think it's a large part because of injury, because if you look at it, again, in previous years, 4th, 6th, 7th, 4th, and 8th in terms of league rank, to drop down to 18 this year, it's not the talent this year is that much worse than everyone else every other season for the Raptors. We're not even talking about just like not having Kawhi. I'm talking about like DeMar versus Pascal. And, you know, I think the biggest difference is simply just that the Raptors are more hurt this year than they've been in previous years.
Yeah. I think that is a big factor, but. Mm-hmm. Still doesn't take away from the fact that I do think that's a huge concern.
It is.
Going into the playoffs.
It is.
But I don't think it's all on Pascal. I'm guessing we'll talk about Pascal at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's just all on him just because people are giving him a hard time about, you know, he's not the guy. Like, what's his move, like, in crunch time and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The offense is going to have to come from a lot of places. Like, Fred can't have a series like he did against the Sixers.
Yeah.
You're going to have to expect, you know, Kyle will probably have to average, like, around 20 points in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Norm is going to have to probably average around 20 points, too.
Okay, all right.
Like 15 to 20. No, seriously.
I'm starting to sweat now. Yeah. This is
no, but it's true,
though. Sounding great. But it is true. You're right. You're right. And you're probably expecting like 25 points from the center position, too, between Mark and Serge.
At least.
I mean, at least. What do you mean?
Where are all the other points going to come from?
So you got 25 from the center spot.
Yeah, 20 from Kyle.
20 from Kyle. Okay, a little high, but whatever. It's 20 totally possible.
20 from Pascal.
Only 20?
All right, 25.
If I'm telling Pascal probably like 40 minutes per game, I'm probably expecting like at least 24.
Okay. I just want the efficiency, to be honest.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. What are we at now?
So we're 25. We're at 25.
Almost
20, 70.
Yeah, we're almost. Okay, let's say we're round up at 70.
Let's not mess up this math.
Fred is probably going to give you 15?
Yeah. So 85. All right.
Norm's going to give you 15. Okay.
All right, that's 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
100 is probably not enough to win, but.
And then you're going to need OG. OG's going to be there.
Okay. OG, like 7 points. Yeah.
Maybe eight. Let's.
Yeah. 100. So 108.
And then we need.
They need a surprise.
McCaw's going to give 2 points.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They should play Matt Thomas a little
over bit, under though. McCaw averaging 2 points in the playoffs.
Over.
Really?
I think he'll play enough. Do you think McCaw's suddenly going to get benched during the playoffs?
I think that's what people hope for. And on my part, I do really hope his minutes get cut down in the playoffs to like maybe 10. And so I don't think he's going to score 2 points in 10 minutes.
All right. Nick's just running him out there a lot.
34 minutes. Hell of a game, man. The best 5-point game Nick Nurse has ever seen in his life.
Come on, man. Do you think Nick Nurse... I was wondering yesterday, would that have been Nick Nurse's first ever like 4-game losing streak? Across all the continents? I'm sure he's been on losing teams.
Well, you know, that time he was in Belgium.
But the fourth game got postponed. Yeah. Man, it was the second half of a doubleheader.
Yeah. I love when they ask anything about Nick Nurse's past, and he's just like, yeah. Back in Birmingham.
Nick Nurse is what Jim Boylan and David Blatt aspired to be.
Wow.
The kind of arrogance and discipline.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair
it's
enough.
It's a mix.
Yeah. Nick is, you know, pretty good.
Don't steal that.
He called out, I'm not. Yeah. But maybe I will. No, he called out Chris Boucher, and then Boucher had a great game.
Yeah. No, that call out is real.
And then Boucher was like, I probably needed it, to be honest.
Yeah.
No. Well, that's what I love about that, too, you know? All the players are just like, yeah, you know what? You called me up, but you were right to do it.
Yeah, that's respect.
Yeah.
That's a level of respect that Jim Boylan aspires to.
Again.
Instead, he calls a timeout when they're down 42 with 10 seconds left. Yeah.
He's so pathetic, man.
Yeah. I honestly don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
Burning question number five.
Only five?
This is six. Sorry. Yeah. Six. What, are you tired? You want to eat the second half of your sub? This guy came in at like 3 p.m. and he's like, all right, let's do the
pod.
Can
we mention the brand or is that? No. No free promos.
Yeah, no free promos. You just had a generic sub.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, basically.
Yeah, no name brand, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Burning question number six. Pascal Siakam. I asked at the beginning of the season if Pascal was going to be more of a DeMar DeRozan or more of a Kawhi Leonard in terms of as a number one option this season. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear he's closer to DeMar DeRozan. End of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. But I will offer you these two numbers, okay? DeMar DeRozan in 2017 was his best ever season offensively, I thought. You know, there's an argument to be made about 2018. He was a little bit more efficient with his passing. But 2017, he averaged 27 points per game. I think he was second team All-NBA, maybe third. But was really good that year. And that year, DeMar DeRozan had effective field goal percentage, which is just regular field goal percentage plus 3-point percentage that is weighted for 3 points, a 47.9 effective field goal percentage for DeMar DeRozan in his best offensive season. This year, Pascal Siakam's at 52%.
Okay. So better than DeMar's best season.
Actually, much more efficient than DeMar DeRozan's best season. And actually, fun stat when I was looking at this.
Siakam, I had a lot of fun with this. Huh?
I had a lot of fun, man. I had like a full 3 hours to research for this. Siakam is actually ahead of Kawhi Leonard right now in terms of effective field goal percentage. He has a
take that.
He's at 52%. Kawhi is at 51.5.
Yeah. So Kawhi left a better player than him. Yeah.
Wow. Kawhi didn't want to be number two.
I can't even propaganda that. Yeah.
No, that's not. That's just, we know that's not
true. Gonna miss Kawhi in the playoffs a lot. Yeah,
yeah. You know, he did average 30 points per game and rivaled most of Michael Jordan's records. Yeah. But would you agree, Pascal Siakam right now is more of a DeMar DeRozan than a Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, sure. But you know, I think the closer, I guess, on the Kawhi side, maybe Pascal's closer to Kawhi in terms of having a two-way impact, right?
Okay.
Not sure if DeMar was ever, you know, impact player on the defensive end.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure, man.
Yeah. I was just trying to be nice, you know, because DeMar's a good dude.
He has the Joker tattooed on him.
Yes, I saw that. That's never a good sign.
Yeah.
The Joker tattooed is never a good sign.
Is that above or beyond bleaching your head blonde?
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
way above, right?
Yeah.
That's permanent.
We're talking about Kyle Kuzma, right?
Yeah. We're talking about Kyle Kuzma.
Okay. Yeah. But it's also below KD. Didn't KD get like a Rick James and like a Tupac tattoo on his leg? Like 2 weeks after, like, he signed with the Warriors?
Huge ones, too.
Yeah.
Tattoos
are a thing, and I'm definitely not judging that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, as an artist, as a creative, you know.
We live in a society.
There's just creative choices that should be made. Like getting a Joker on your arm, like, I don't know, man.
To be fair, it was the Heath Ledger Joker.
Okay. Recipes. No, that, yeah, okay. That does make it a little better.
Yeah, yeah. He was great in that role.
Yeah. What was the question?
Pascal Siakam more DeMar than a Kawhi right now.
You know, I think we did like not maybe underappreciate how elite of a scorer DeMar was. Like, yeah. Especially in the regular season.
Forget
the playoffs. I know
year.
We always talk about the playoffs, but man, like the thing with Pascal that jumps out to me is that you can just see clearly there's two players. Like, you see the one in Phoenix last night. And he talked about it after the game, how he was just going back to basics and like, just having fun.
Yeah.
And like when Pascal is at his best, like he's just everywhere on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Both ends. And then there's games against like, say, the Bucks or even the Clippers earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
You see him going up against like an elite defender, like when Giannis is on him.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think he almost like realizes, like he's self-aware that like, oh, like I'm supposed to be the guy
mm-hmm.
who's going up against this guy right now. And I have to make something happen. And like, you see him, like he loses all his aggression.
Right.
Like last night, whenever he saw DeAndre Ayton, like He was just taking that to the basket. Oh, and, like, just busting out moves on him.
Yeah. I don't know why Phoenix single covered him. That was dumb.
Yeah.
Why would you single cover him, man?
Yeah, Phoenix also didn't draft Luka Doncic, even though he had, like, they had, like, his coach. Man. But anyways.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's just the thing that stands out to me about Pascal when you talk about him as a number one option. And again, another kind of red flag or warning sign for the playoffs. Although I do think it's overblown that everyone's like, oh, you know, can Pascal be the number one this year and stuff? Like, I don't know, man. The Raptors are going to win, like, as a team.
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of, I don't know, cliche, but.
Yeah.
Like we were just distributing. True, we were just distributing, like, the points and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to have to be a group effort.
Definitely.
They're going to lose if, like, certain guys just don't perform up to expectations. And it won't be just because of Pascal.
Exactly. And the difference with that is, you know, you mentioned the point about defense is just, you know, there were times when DeMar wasn't scoring efficiently. It was just like, what is he doing? He's now a negative on the floor. Pascal at least will play defense. And we know that's going to be a big part of the game. And I agree with you, man. It really is a big thing for him. I think just think in terms of his mentality and his focus. Like, the guy I kind of compare him to right now is, like, Jimmy Butler. I don't think Jimmy Butler tangibly has better skills than DeMar DeRozan or than Pascal Siakam. Don't think his jumper is better than Pascal, even though he's a guy who's more willing to shoot the jumper. His jumpers this year, just look up the numbers, they're terrible. And defensively, yeah, Jimmy's a good defender. So is Pascal. I think they're equal there. You know, but the one thing with Jimmy is that he's just like, he's done it before. He's mentally tough, and he's just like, he has that confidence. And whether he's shooting like 4 of 12 or, you know, like, you know, 12 of 15, like, he is going to maintain that same aggression, and he's going to maintain that same structure. And I feel like that's something that I think Pascal also needs to work on. It's just his approach to the game shouldn't change. You know, like, don't get in your head just because you're going up against Milwaukee, whatever. You can still make the same impact plays on defense. You can still, you know, leak out in transition. You can still make your moves and just let the game come to you. Like, there's a lot of him right now forcing his game. But again, this is totally normal. And in year one of him being the number one guy, like, he's handled it not as well as you can expect, but pretty damn well. All things considered.
I mean, if you think about it, if you just zoom out and look at it, like, at the start of the season, if people told you, like, these were the numbers that he would be putting up, and these are the struggles that he was going through, like, this would be above, like, the expectations of people.
Yeah.
Like, this could have come, like, crashing down, like, pretty terribly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he could have just been, like, I don't know, like, just the guy that you see a lot, like, and the thing, like, when he plays against those winning teams, like, a lot of players struggle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Against a Giannis and against, like, Kawhi.
Bro, it's Giannis and Antetokounmpo. I saw LeBron get blocked by him multiple times. You know,
Pascal does remind me a lot of Giannis, like maybe a 70% version of him.
Sure.
Just in terms of, like, you know, like, the freak of nature type stuff, and the fact that, you know, that I know his three point shooting has been, like, okay.
I mean, his three point shooting is better than Giannis. Pascal's shooting 37%.
Yeah.
From deep, which
is surprising because sometimes it feels like he's, like, just having these, like, 2 of 11 games.
Well, he's also either 5 of 9 or, like, 1 of 9.
Yeah. So I think it's, like, kind of like Giannis too. Like, if that part of his game can become, like, really above average or, like, near elite, then it changes everything, right?
Fair enough.
But, you know, all in all, like, I do feel a lot of the Pascal discussions are overblown. But I can't wait for him to take all the blame when the Raptors lose, which they won't. Yeah,
no, they're not. All right, last burning question, the seventh burning question before we go to break. Matt Thomas is first in the NBA in three-point percentage at 49.3%. He's 34 for 69. Can he finish number one on the season?
Does he qualify? Like, does he have games or attempts or whatever?
He qualifies because I can play with the sliders on NBAstats.com.
So he's not officially on the rankings.
Whatever his number of attempts is, I set that to the minimum. And then, yes, he is number one.
First of all, it's really disappointing that he's only had 69 attempts.
On a whole year?
Like, I don't know. Like, I know, obviously, I kind of zoom in on Matt whenever he comes into the games. But sometimes teammates are just not looking for him. All I'm saying is if you're going to play Matt Thomas for like 5 to 7 minutes and you're not taking advantage of the fact that he is quote unquote the best three-point shooter in the NBA on a team that struggles with offense a lot, especially with injuries, what's the point?
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Fair enough.
That's not even propaganda.
No, know? I agree. Also his rebounding.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of his 4 rebounds in like 6 minutes yesterday?
Yeah, Dennis Rodman-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I really think alike.
Yeah, because we have the same 5 jokes.
We didn't even coordinate, All right.
I already used that diving Rodman photo earlier this year, so that's why I didn't use it last time.
I see, okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, now you have the propaganda meme that you can use forever.
Yeah, yeah. Don't publicize that.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. You should look it up. I spent a whole 5 minutes on that.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, well, those are your 7 burning questions. We're going to take a quick break right here where I'm going to tell you that baseball is hot dogs, football has nachos. So when does basketball get its official food? How about right now? Kentucky Fried Chicken, the new official food of basketball. Think about it. Basketball players make buckets all the time. KFC makes buckets all the time. And theirs are filled with fried chicken, like a famous original recipe, or crispy popcorn chicken, or even juicy tenders. So that settles it. KFC, the official food of basketball. Order at KFC.ca and get it before tip-off. All right, so second half of the show while you're filming me here. So
excuse me?
Yeah. We're going to get to your Twitter questions. But before we go that, actually one more plug. I'm teaching a class for Flying Books. It's a class on how to cover basketball. And it's a 4-part series. You can find more information in my pinned tweet. Or by searching William Liu Flying Books. But, yeah, it's a 4-part lecture on just – not even a lecture. Lecture seems like one-sided. It's really just sort of an interactive class where we cover everything on sort of how to cover basketball in terms of writing profiles, you know, looking at stats, looking at numbers, podcasting, video, social media, everything. And then in the fourth class, we're actually going to watch a game together, the last game of the season, which will be very fun. Yeah. Raptors Magic, I believe.
Yeah. Pat McCall definitely playing 44 minutes that game.
I was going to say.
That's the over-under.
Yeah. See, and we're going to watch that game and we're going to figure out, you know, what to write or what to how to cover that. And it'll be a very fun class. And joining me for one of those classes will be Alex, who will be teaching the second of the 4 seminars. Blake's actually helping me with the first guest lecture. Alex is going to be the second one. You know, we haven't talked about this officially too much in depth yet, but you know, what are you hoping to teach the next generation of?
You us? Know, first of all, to join the class, we're gonna make sure everyone follows us on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's half your.
This
grade.
Is a trick that an actual professor did.
Yeah,
I believe at U of T.
Yeah,
a fellow Asian.
Yeah, you know, respect, man.
No, I honestly respect.
Yeah, seriously,
respect
I
the hustle.
Respect them so much.
No, but I think you know, I'm sure you have too. Like sometimes we have like. Younger writers or people trying to break into the industry reach out to us. And it's just, you know, it's just about like passing on our experiences, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes maybe we've done it for, you know, a few years now or for a while that things are like second nature to us.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, like you said, like covering stories or like social media, pitching stories, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like those are new to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So sometimes people just need to hear it. And maybe just hear it from people that, you know, look like them.
Sure, yeah.
You know, hopefully we'll get, you know, a good turnout. No, you should check it out. I think,
yeah.
I do think it'll be very, very informative. And and I feel like because, like, we are more part of, say, like, quote-unquote, like, new media too, right?
Definitely.
Like,
definitely.
I think traditional media will always have a space.
Mm-hmm.
But that used to always be the kind of only route, right?
Right, for sure.
In terms of newspaper writing and things like that. But now you see a lot of people like ourselves too, like kind of make a career out of our presence online and kind of doing it our own way.
Yeah.
So I think sharing those experiences to people who are trying to break into new media as well will be really useful. And also the fact, like you mentioned, like you do different things. You don't just write.
Yeah.
There's the podcasting. You know, we obviously have our show and you have your call-in show and things like that. And I think those things are important too to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. So again, you can find more information if you just Google Flying Books William Liu. And the class starts in late March and it carries on right before the Raptors get into the playoffs. So we're going to take Twitter questions. The first one, all right, from you somehow. Why do you ask the question if you know you're coming in, man?
I just love engaging with you on Twitter, you know.
Tell the people about your brand white.
Brand new white Air Force Ones, yeah. And the general direction, direction that you're taking this year. Yeah.
The other day I had like 3 hours to burn, so I walked up and down Queen Street and went into all my favorite spots, you know.
The SVP outlet got you? The SVP got you?
Yeah, you know, first stop.
Do you have to check your bag when you go in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Because they're like, oh, he's here so often, you might as well just take the bag.
No, I think I went in there once. I had to check my bag before I went upstairs.
Yeah,
you did. And I'm like, I'm not going to steal this Phil Kessel Leafs jersey. Like, I mean, honestly, I might, but yeah.
Yeah, I was walking down the street, and first stop went to H&M. Didn't have anything good
there.
This
is legit. Yo, I could have scripted this.
I walked a little bit more, down the street, went to the Adidas store. Saw some good items, bought a shirt.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just a little expensive. And then I went to Zara. Okay. Kind of potentially debated buying this very big coat, and I decided not to. And then I went all the way back to SVP.
Yeah.
And, I bought these White Air Force ones.
So finale.
That's my approach, really. It's just whatever's on sale. And there's no general direction, but it's an improvement. If you met me like 2 years ago, it's way worse than this. So
no, you,
it's like Pascal, you're seeing it in progress right now.
Style's all about confidence, It's about confidence and knowing what you like.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's
also how you get free stuff, which is you can also learn from Alex.
That'll be a separate session.
That's an additional 6 hours.
You will have to donate a pair of shoes to me to enter.
All right, fair enough. It'll be worth it. You'll get some.
You don't like Gap? I was just at Gap before coming here.
Bro, what is this, man?
I'm starting to become a fan of Gap.
I'm not wearing Gap.
Yeah, a lot of good essentials like hoodies.
Okay.
No? Okay.
No free promo.
All right.
Second question. Somehow also about fashion. What changes have you made to your wardrobe since Pascal said you should, quote, get rid of the whole fit, comma, all of it?
Yeah, so on Run It Back last week, check it out on Yahoo Sports Canada on YouTube. We played a clip where at All-Star Weekend I asked Pascal, Shay, Nikhil, and Tyler Hero about your fit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some good and positive, negative feedback. It was across the spectrum.
Sure. Yeah. I think Shay said I just had to take off the fanny pack.
Yeah.
Which is right on the table right now.
Yeah. And Shay says that everyone has their own swag.
Uh-huh.
As long as you're confident, you're good.
Wow.
Pascal was a little harsh.
Yeah.
But
we also have to cut out the part where I said he stole his logo from the Heart and Stroke Foundation.
Yeah, you might have to cut that out again.
No, this is my podcast. I'm keeping that in.
Okay. I don't know. You have your own Instagram page now. We're going to get you sponsored.
Okay.
That's the goal. I think the goal at the end of the year is to get you sponsored.
Fair enough.
By a brand that, you feel like fits your vision.
Okay.
We can't just sell out to anyone.
Yeah. That's right, SVP. Call me, all right?
Yeah. I think Zara is a doable.
Oh, okay.
Goal.
Well, all right, I'll do that too.
Yeah.
Next one from Ravi, my guy. Who do you think is still on the team in 2021?
Oh, just like the whole team.
Out of the people right
now. This is after Giannis comes?
At the start of the 2021 season, with Giannis obviously there.
Yeah.
Who is still on the roster? Pascal.
Yeah, I think most of them will be actually.
Okay.
So how about who's not going to be on the roster? You think Kyle will still be there?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean,
like one more contract?
My hope is that, after this last 2 year or this 1 year extension, which was worth like $30 million.
Yeah.
Masai and Kyle sit down and are like, hey, listen, what if we did this bridge deal? Like 2 years, $15 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think Kyle's the kind of guy to take discounts. I know as much as he loves Toronto, as much as Toronto loves him, it might be a little tough.
What if he goes to Miami with Giannis and Jimmy Butler?
Then, I'm going to tweet about the Leafs.
This guy's going to buy a Zach Hyman jersey.
William Nylander.
Yeah. No, but I think the easier way to answer is like, who's not going to be here? It's probably like the bigger ones are Kyle.
Well,
obviously, Serge and Mark.
Serge and Mark, yeah.
Norm, too, his contract is up, right?
He has a player option for that year, honestly.
At this moment, he would opt out.
He's opting out of $10 million. You can get more than $10 million for what he's doing.
He could get like $15 million for like 4 years or something.
Yeah. He might be out too, just because the bird rights will be pretty big on that.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of the younger guys, I guess, will be there. OG, Terrence.
Matt Thomas.
Yeah, Matt Thomas is on a three-year deal.
Yeah.
He's on a three-year deal.
Yeah.
The steal of the offseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, would you rather have him or Al Horford for $119 million?
Yeah.
Tell me right now.
Yeah. Okay. That's very easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I feel like most of the guys will be here. But I don't know. It feels like if Masai wants to make a big trade, he's going to have enough young players to be able to make a move for a star.
I was going to say, as much as Warm is playing really well, I'm thinking like, man,
even
it's a really good trade chip right now.
Even Terrence. If you're thinking big.
Well, I mean, Terrence is technically like only on a two-year deal, so he doesn't necessarily have a contract for 2021. But I do think he's going to be around.
Yeah, but by that point, if it's like, You got Terrence. You have OG. We'll see where OG is at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And Norm.
Yep.
Those are some good assets.
Fair enough.
If you were to get a superstar.
Yeah.
And then try to pair him up with someone else.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know.
That sounds exciting. Good question, though. Good question.
Yeah, Fred will still be here, too, I think. I think Fred will come back.
Yeah, I think so. You need a point guard for the future.
Yeah.
Mahesh, I might be screaming that name, but can you slash will do a Boston slander pod for what happened to them against Brooklyn? I was having a lunch and I sat down within quiet space and just threw on the highlights for Celtics Nets. Yeah. And I got to say, what Caris LeVert did to this team, especially in down the stretch in the fourth quarter and in overtime, was just amazing. Like, just like I would think at least like six threes.
Yeah, this man came into the fourth quarter with 14 points, right?
And he finished with 51.
Yeah.
How?
They scored 51 on them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Boston, they've been getting some hype. They've been playing really well, to be fair, but they've got some injuries. Like, Tatum didn't play yesterday. Having said that,
it makes me feel less bad about like when the Raptors lose to like the Hornets
or the Nets.
Yeah. I mean, the Nets one, I mean, that was like third game in four nights.
Mm.
And it was like right before the All-Star break.
Sure.
I got all the excuses.
Yeah.
The Hornets one was really the first maybe inexplicable loss this season, I feel like. Was there another one?
They had injuries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, how could you contain Bismack Biyombo?
But that was legit the first one where you walked away like really frustrated.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Sure.
Because some of the other ones are against like just better teams. Right?
Fair enough.
But then you look around and you're like, Miami's had a lot of bad losses.
Yep.
And then they beat Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Boston's had some bad losses. I mean, Philly's a walking bad loss every time they're on the road.
I mean, they literally need Shake Milton to score like 40 points a game.
Yeah. Didn't they lose to Cleveland on the road recently? Or was that Miami? Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All I'm saying is, you know, the Raptors are better.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. The Celtics thing, I'm just like, defensively, it just doesn't make that much sense to me how good they are defensively. I really do feel like they need like a backline guy. Like, I get it. Smart's a good perimeter defender, really good perimeter defender. Very Kyle Lowry-esque in a way. I mean, really, he kind of has that Kyle Lowry, not necessarily like, you know, one Kyle's done, then Marcus Smart's going to be the new Kyle Lowry, but a lot of parallels and similarities in their games. You know, Tatum and Brown are really good perimeter defenders. Hayward has good size, I guess. And they, you know, they play cohesively, but, and Tyson's had a good year, but it just doesn't really feel like they should defend that well. And I felt like the way that Nets game unfurled, like, they didn't really have a guy who can just like go on Caris LeVert and stop him. Like, remember when Caris LeVert had 37 against the Raptors, last possession of the game, OG Anunoby says, I'm going to go guard him and I'm going to force him into an air ball.
Yeah.
And then if the Celtics had a guy like OG defensively who could do that stuff, then they would have won yesterday. It would have been easy, but they didn't. You know,
yeah. So. Raptors have a higher defensive ceiling.
Yeah, and they're the better defensive squad.
Yeah. Also,
that's not really slander. This is just analysis.
No, and people like rush to like hype the Celtics all the time.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if people had the same thirst of hyping up the Raptors.
Well, you know, the Celtics are basically a white guy.
Okay.
Pens and Raps. Anyone you wouldn't mind seeing that the Raptors sign, or just cut Miller and sign Brissett?
Wait, what is this right now?
Yeah. Like, buyout guy. You know, I know you're a big Malcolm Miller guy. He's very nice.
Yeah, Malcolm Miller is a very nice gentleman. I've spoken with him a few times.
Every single time I ask you about what if they cut Malcolm, you're like, yeah, he's just super nice dude.
Chemistry is important, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It'll all fall apart without Malcolm and his Zenny glasses.
Who's still out there? Didn't the deadline passed of guys who can get bought out, right?
Yeah. Jordan Bell.
Nah, I'm good.
Is he better than Chris Boucher?
No.
Probably not.
Not after last night. Yo, recency bias. It's crazy.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's really nobody out there.
Joakim Noah on a 10-day.
No, man. I think the Raps are fine.
Okay.
Just need to get healthy.
Okay.
Why didn't like Wayne Ellington get bought out? This man's on the Knicks.
Yeah.
I
forgot about his whole existence until you said it.
Yeah. No, I saw him make a three the other night, and I was like, okay. Yeah.
You're watching Knicks basketball, huh?
Yeah, I had to tune in for the Leon Rose era, you know?
Oh, okay. I mean, they won that game.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they lost everything because they beefed with Spike Lee.
Yeah, what's wrong with the Knicks, man? But they're fixed.
If Masai goes there.
What's wrong with the Masai?
Honestly, we'll lose all respect for Masai.
Yeah. Masai, just use this clout, get the leverage, get the extension, and then.
Masai cannot go there, man. It's just not a good work environment.
No, it's not, man.
What's wrong? Like, whatever. Send Bobby there, anyways.
No, don't send Bobby, man. That's my guy. That's my one plug to the Raptors front office, even though he tells me nothing and I rarely ever talk to him. But come on the show, Bobby. I've asked already. I got to press him again. All right, Daniel. Daniel Sutter asks, can Siakam be a number one option in the playoffs?
We talked about this, right?
Yeah.
I don't. It just can't be just on him. It just can't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's gonna be a number one option where the team really supports him.
Yep.
It's like how in the 2004 Pistons,
holy
Chauncey Billups was the number one option, but there was a lot of guys who could do things.
No, you know what? The Raptors honestly remind me of those teams a lot.
Yeah.
Just because of like the cohesiveness,
yep,
of the five-man unit when they're healthy and out there,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of the even distribution. Like everyone has different skill sets, right? Like Kyle, Fred, Pascal,
Mark.
Anyway, even when you're talking about Serge and Mark. And you know those teams are funny too, because like the Pistons won that one title, and then they like carried themselves like they were like the best team for like the next like 5 years. And you know what? Granted, they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think like 6 straight years.
Yeah, they did.
And they made it back to the finals the following year and lost to the Spurs.
Yeah.
But they always had this confidence about them, like, yo, it doesn't matter if we don't have home court.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it doesn't matter that the Celtics
we'll just hold you to 60 points.
That the Celtics have like KG now or whatever, like. The Raptors have a little bit of that too, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like there's a little bit of that defending champs.
Okay.
Confidence to them.
I like it.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I'm very high on the Raptors in the playoffs.
Okay, good.
Despite all my concerns.
Yeah, I was going to say the first half of the
despite all these serious concerns.
You're more negative. Mary asks, do you think Nick Nurse is keeping Matt Thomas off the court as a secret weapon for the playoffs?
I mean, that's the only explanation at this point.
Oh, okay. All
right. For why Matt Thomas isn't playing in Pat McCaw's spot.
This question got 7 likes, so.
Yo, but honestly, at some point, it's like, okay, if you're going to start McCaw like you did last night,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is he
first off, that did not work, man.
Is he really? Is he really bringing you that much, like, on the defensive end? Where incrementally, you could argue that maybe Matt Thomas should start in the first unit and maybe give you a little lift offensively. That's all I'm saying. You can pull Matt Thomas after 3 minutes if you want.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a strong case.
All right. Matt Thomas.
This is what Jim Sand told Nick Nurse.
Come on, run it back.
Nick is like, nah, man.
The Sandman?
Yeah, the Sandman.
I don't know, man. That's not a secret weapon. I mean, everyone's going to come in and be like, he can shoot.
Yeah.
Because why else would he be here? And then everyone's going to know. Like, what's nothing secret about, like, wow, Matt Thomas can shoot?
I also think, wide open. I also think the hook will be real quick in the playoffs.
He might.
One missed defensive assignment and he's out. Yeah.
I would rather have Matt Thomas play a 2-minute stint than when Jody Meeks played those 2 minutes.
Yeah, but that's a low bar, though.
I mean, McCaw's out there, man.
That's like saying, let's bring Jeremy Lin back.
McCaw had 5 points, and Nick Nurse was like, yo, this is a fantastic game.
No, that's fair. Who do you think?
What are you saying about a guy if you have 5 points? You're like, yo, that was the best game I've ever seen in my life.
No, but I think, who do you think is going to have the quickest hook in the playoffs? I think it's between Boucher and Matt Thomas. Like, who's Nick going to have the quickest hook for? I don't think it's Rondé. I think Rondé's good enough defensively.
You know, but then Rondé will do some things that you're like, nah.
Rondé will have an open path to the basket, and somehow it's a 720.
Did you see that dunk against
the
Suns? Yeah,
the missed dunk.
He's wide open, and then he
and
hung
he on
the rim.
And he got basket interference.
I was like, how?
Yeah. Rondé makes one basketball play that I've never seen before game.
Rondé dunks the ball, and it's like the bounce shot by Kawhi. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it takes 4 bounces, and then he accidentally tips it.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's a tie between Chris Boucher and Matt Thomas.
Quickest
hook in the playoffs.
Fair enough. Terrence Davis might get a quick hook, too, because he came in yesterday. I mean, realistically, he stuck up the joint. He did not play that well. But, like, and then he just, like, got cut from the rotation entirely. Like, Matt Thomas got a second
That's what I'm telling you. Pat McCall's going to play in the playoffs. Who do you think he's going to bring in when he gives these quick hooks? It's going to be McCall.
It's going to be McCall, baby.
Yeah.
And McCaw can do some things. I thought he had a pretty good job pressuring the ball against Devin Booker. Not as good against Ricky Rubio.
Basic basketball things. Yeah.
Did he great cut?
Yeah. Did he have a nice cut off ball cut? Yeah.
He had a great layup. Yeah.
Good defensive stance.
He had a legitimate great layup though.
Oh, he did at the end of the game, right?
Yeah. Because the whole game he's just been passing the ball, and then all of a sudden
once again,
like,
an NBA player had a layup.
It was one of the best layups I've ever seen.
Okay.
All right. Sage 416. Okay. All right. The LGBTQ community has a few questions for OG. They would like to know the truth. I don't know what that question is.
Yeah, OG's a fan favorite right now.
Yeah, he's a fan favorite. Everybody loves OG.
He's a fan favorite.
I don't know what that question is. That question needs to be relayed to me because maybe I'm just oblivious. But XS, will the extended rest of key players give the Raptors an advantage in the playoffs? When will Kyle and Pascal get reduced minutes to prepare them for the April-June onslaught?
Has Kyle's minutes come down?
He played 43 last night.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I think there was like a 3-game stretch where he was like under 30, but
yeah, I mean, when they beat the Pacers by 46, he got to only play 30.
Yeah. I don't know. Kyle's held up okay. Actually, he's been a little he was great last night.
Yeah.
Been a little on and off since the All-Star break.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's just Kyle Harry, you know.
Yeah. But anyways, it's a little too late in the season to be cutting the minutes, I feel like.
Okay, fair enough.
Unless they rest the guys the last week of the season, which I don't know if they can afford to.
Mm. Yeah, I doubt there's going to be too much rest, to be honest. They might rest that last game in Orlando, where Matt Thomas scores a career-high 35 points.
Yeah. Can't wait, 18 assists from Pat McCall. Yeah.
I can't wait, man. Boucher with 65 rebounds.
Yeah, 65 IG stories. Yeah.
Jason Peddle asks, can we close by committee in the playoffs, or is an alpha essential?
Yeah, and you know, I think in close games it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I think it's not like the Raptors.
Like, who do you want? Who do you want to have the ball? Like, what do you want the play to be if it's a tie game with 10 seconds left? Just Pascal top of the key.
I would like to see Pascal in the post, and whether he draws a double or not, and the Raptors can move the ball. Yeah. They got to be better at that. But still, if you're drawing a double team in crunch time, I feel that's a good outcome for the offense.
Sure.
Right? Because you can move around. The Raptors have good passers and good shooters. That's probably my preferred one. I want to see the Kyle-Pascal pick and roll both ways. Kyle running with the ball, Pascal screening, and also Pascal with the ball, Kyle screening. I feel like they can create something there. And then, you know, it's just...
it might just be Fred making, like, random big shots.
Fred is an incredibly clutch catch-and-shoot three-point shooter.
Yeah.
As a guy who creates off on the ball. I mean, look, last year in the playoffs, he got to play a lot against Quinn Cook, and he cooked Quinn, but...
All right.
You know? No, I mean, like, you know, that play where he, like, famously screams and stuff like that. He comes off the high screen, he crosses over. Yeah. Quinn Cook is in the paint somehow, and Kyle and then Fred hits a three, and he screams. Amazing play. I'm just saying, you're not going to play a lot of finals games with Quinn Cook in there.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, listen, man, get it. Like, Kawhi's not here anymore. Mm. But, like, do you like this team's closing lineup better than what the Raptors had, you know, when DeMar was here?
I do, only in the sense that I trust more people to make decisions. I trust Mark to make decisions. I trust Kyle to make decisions. I trust Pascal to make decisions.
But it is, like, the question. It is going to be a closing by committee.
Yeah.
Nick going to have to drop those genius plays, bro.
Yeah. You know, Nick had a good one yesterday, and he loves to drop those corner threes off the
And Nick's capable of that. Down. Yeah, Nick does give him an edge on that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's a little worrisome when you ask a question of what you want, and
the
answer goes in five different directions.
Yeah, fair enough. So it is by committee, and I guess we're going to have to see. I don't know. But I do think they play – I mean, honestly, their crunch time offense, at least by efficiency, has been kind of decent all year, so – Jimmy Alfredo, what a name. If OG was a wrestler, could he take over the Gold Dust character? What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to make the connection.
You're a wrestling fan? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was a big Gold Dust fan growing up, too.
If OG was a wrestler, what wrestler would he be?
Wow. Who's someone that just, like, doesn't talk? Yeah. He'd be Kane. Remember Kane?
I do remember Kane. Yeah.
Kane, yeah. Undertaker's
you
brother.
He just looked like a mad Republican.
You couldn't even see his face.
Yeah, but, you know, you know he was a Republican.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Wow. Didn't know we were going to merge WWF and politics.
Yeah, I mean.
Super Tuesday over here.
Yeah. Okay. It's Wednesday. If OG was a wrestler, how many wrestlers do I know?
Yeah, this one's tough because, you know.
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't watch wrestling anymore.
Yeah, we failed. We failed.
I was going to say, Rey Mysterio is my go-to answer, but he's nothing like Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Also, I think I saw you say the other day that, was it you? You were like, OG, like, doesn't try, but he's, like, really funny.
Yeah.
I take issue with that.
Why?
I think OG tries really hard.
Okay.
I think OG actually tries really hard to maintain that.
That
persona. Yeah. So.
Okay. Well,
that's all I'm saying.
It's good, though. He's very good at it.
No.
It's
yeah,
a great character.
I just disagree with the fact that he doesn't try.
Okay, all right.
I think he tries very hard.
Okay. Yeah. 10-ball goat.
Wow, my only friend on the team left is Malcolm Miller.
Yeah, that's why you can't let him get traded, man. Which team in the East are you most worried about facing in the first round? Realistically, it's like their first-round possibilities are like Philly, Indiana, and that's if the Raptors get the 3-seed, face the 6-seed. I'm not even sure which one's going to be there because, honestly, both those teams lose and win. And just, like, they're a little unpredictable right now. But they're both clearly very talented. And then, you know, whichever seventh round opponent, like if it's Caris LeVert and the Nets, that's five games. We're good.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. And then Orlando, like, God, please, man, no more.
I just
Orlando.
Don't want Orlando just because it's just boring.
It's boring as hell. Yeah. But also, I'm very confident we could beat Orlando. No Jonathan Isaac to slow down Pascal Siakam.
It just wouldn't be, like, fun.
Vucevic can't do anything against Marc
Gasol. What are you going to find out about the Raptors that nothing. You don't already know? Yeah.
Nothing. So.
I don't mind. I wouldn't mind a first-round matchup with the Sixers, actually.
Oh, okay.
It'd be kind of fun.
I do highly mind. Yeah. I'm not trying to see Embiid in the playoffs again. As much as he can't score, he can really defend. Nathan Drake, shout out to Uncharted. Do you play Uncharted?
No, but I get the reference.
Okay, all right.
I get the reference. Did you play Metal Gear Solid? Yeah.
I did not. Although recently I downloaded BioShock and I was like, this game looks interesting. And then I watched like the intro and I was like, he shoots himself and he's like underwater with his little daughter who's not apparently not his. And I was like, this is too dark for me. I'm just gonna play FIFA. Like,
yeah, the last game I played was like Doom on my PC. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
By the way, can we talk about soccer later? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Liverpool falling apart.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was hoping you wouldn't ask. Yeah. Nathan asks, can you do a quick exercise on the pod on who you think the top six teams in these should be want to face the most in the playoffs and who they wouldn't want to see?
Yeah, so, this is like 800 different permutations.
Yeah. It's a 6x6 matrix right here.
Do you think the Sixers can give the Bucks a series? Probably not if you're thinking that long.
No. I don't think offensively they can score on the Bucks at all.
Because that's literally what they're trying
to do. All they want to do is get to the rim.
That's what they're literally built for.
Yeah.
So the Sixers are just fundamentally broken as a roster.
Oddly enough, Milwaukee's more built to beat the Sixers than the Sixers are built to beat Milwaukee.
Which sucks.
Which really does suck. Al Horford's
cashing a check right now.
I don't think the Sixers match up well against pretty much anybody. Maybe on paper, the Celtics.
The Sixers have been terribly assembled.
They don't make any
sense.
Like,
they have been terribly assembled.
Yeah, they don't make sense.
And now they're going to have to trade probably one of their top two guys.
I can't wait, man.
And also, Markel Fultz is playing all right in Orlando. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. So, the Sixers, I don't think there's any great matchup for them.
Yeah.
I guess if you got to pick one, probably Miami for them.
Sixers and Miami. Yeah.
Miami is a team that shoots the three ball well, but I feel like you can guard the three-point shot a little bit better if you can protect the rim, which is, I guess is just a general statement.
What about Boston versus Philly?
Boston, I think honestly, Phillies.
That's kind of a toss up for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would think on paper Joel Embiid has a great advantage there in terms of the center spot, but Embiid against the Sixers or against the Celtics at center. I mean, maybe it's just I'm biased because I just watched the last game, but he was trash against them. So I don't know, man. The Sixers are just very hard to tell. The Celtics in general. I mean, I think their worst matchup is the Raptors, actually.
Yeah.
I think the Raptors handle them really well on the perimeter. And I think Pascal gives them real problems.
Yeah. No, for me, the Raptors are still the clear-cut second-best team.
Okay. This is as much as we're going to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of permutations.
Yeah, I got to use the bathroom and end this podcast.
Okay.
Like Jamal. 70. All right. Asks, do you think Norman's our best shot creator?
I guess.
Right now.
Yeah.
He's not even that far behind Pascal.
Yeah, I feel like you still got to give it to Pascal, I guess.
Kyle's also a shot creator.
Yep.
But I don't trust Kyle to create his own shot as much. Yep. I think in general, as a team operator, Kyle's obviously the best.
Norm's like pretty elite now in terms of getting to the basket and as a finisher.
Mm-hmm. When they were down 17, the guy who started the comeback was Norm Powell coming off the screen, driving down the lane, right-handed dunk.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, and it feels like this is real now.
Yeah. I really hope so, man.
Just don't get hurt again, man.
We need 15 points efficiently from him in the playoffs.
Yeah, just to get to 100, yeah.
Yeah. Next one, Mir Yannick. Nurse's confidence in McCaw. What am I missing?
It's unclear, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I actually don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, fair enough. No one knows the answer.
Everyone's asked Nick, too, and, you know.
Everyone's asked Nick. People are always like, the media is not holding Nick Nurse's feet to the fire. First off,
that is true.
Yo, listen, we're not Daniel Dale versus, like, you know, Rob Ford over here, right? Rest in peace.
I was doing an interview for, like, CBC Radio a few weeks ago when they were, like, on a 15-game win streak or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when they wanted to call me, but then I was in Mexico, and then they're like, I'm calling the next Asian on the list, and they called you.
And I was like, do you pay? Yeah, that's advice to young writers. But like, they were like, oh yeah, Nick Nurse can walk on water, like as a joke. And I was like, yeah, Nick Nurse can walk on water. Yeah. Okay. Nick Nurse has very good PR is all I'm saying.
He does have great PR.
His PR is like great right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what will it take for Nick Nurse for people to turn on Nick Nurse, to be honest?
McCaw. People are already
doing it. No, but like he's done this all season.
People are doing it, man.
But people aren't turning on Nick for that.
I mean,
people are just directing all their anger towards McCaw.
Fair enough. You know, McCaw's like the number one trending topic in Canada on Twitter sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, it's not this important. It's not that serious, man.
It's really not.
Please, guys.
But it's
stop.
Also just like really annoying.
Yeah, I guess so.
Anyways.
Oh, my God. There's so many questions here. Holy crap. Yeah,
it's your own doing.
Who do you want to see the Raptors chase in 2021 free agency if Giannis isn't available? Rudy Gobert would be a good fit.
Yeah.
Sure.
Giannis, he's a good player. Great player. Giannis and Bradley Beal, man.
All right.
I'm not trying to lead the league in screen assists. Yeah.
Wow.
The Rudy Gobert quadruple-double. Oh, my God. Screen assists, points, rebounds, IG stories.
Mm. What do you think about this, James Monroe? This question I thought was good. What are your thoughts on star players seemingly pressing their coaches to challenge calls officially? It's got to be a balancing act of keeping the players happy / engaged and not wasting it too early.
Yo, I think this is actually a great question.
Yeah.
Because this is all I think about for challenges now. Because there was, I think there was one scenario a few games ago when Serge wanted a review the first offensive possession.
That was Indiana.
And like Nick was just like, nah, man. Like, you're not on that level. Like, if Kyle comes to me and gives you the signal, like, I got to keep Kyle engaged in the game, like, I will say yes for Kyle, but not you, Serge. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm saving that for when I'm up 28 points.
No, the coach's challenge is legit a good system of knowing, like, where you stand in the hierarchy.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, Pascal gets a couple of them, but for the most part.
It's usually Kyle. But you know what? Kyle usually has the best case, though.
Yeah. Like, and Kyle's trying to play the referee more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Pretty much in the whole game, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe James Harden.
They got to, I don't know. I don't like the coach's challenge system. They either got to do it with it or give them more, or I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm. Let's take two more, man. This is too many.
Yeah, you're exhausted.
I just drank a lot of water before this podcast. TTC made me do it, all right? There's so much talk about who our eighth man will be in the playoffs, but why do we need to settle on one? Is there a disadvantage to having a set seven-man rotation and then doing the eighth man by committee? What do you think? Because they have a lot of options at the eighth man. Like, all the players are different. Matt Thomas is a shooting specialist. Yeah. Rondé's a defensive specialist. Chris Boucher is an IG specialist. Pat McCaw is,
Pat McCaw's a Nick Nurse
specialist.
Is a coach's pet specialist.
Yeah, actually.
I think.
You think he brings an apple and puts it on Nick Nurse's desk every morning? He's like, great. I'm so excited for practice today, coach.
I think the eighth man can change from series to series. But okay. I don't know.
And Terrence Davis is also probably the best two-way player in that situation.
Now, I can see Nick kind of maybe mixing and matching throughout the series, but I think there's definitely an advantage of having those set rotations and having the eight guys out there.
Fair enough.
But then, I mean, that's a problem too, right? Like, the Raptors have a lot of, like, decent players, but not, like, a eighth guy.
Well, I was going to say, I don't trust any of these guys that we mentioned for the eighth man.
Well, the problem is, like,
nightly basis, I don't trust
that's,
them.
That's the problem.
Some
right?
nights they can be great.
Yeah,
some
that's the problem.
Terrible.
That's the problem. You could see Terrence come in and give them a spark.
Yeah.
Or he could just look lost out there.
Yeah.
And Chris Boucher worries me, as much as I'm a big fan of Chris Boucher.
Sure, yeah.
He's got a little bebe in him, you don't know.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He could give up that, he could have that minus 10 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It could happen.
It's totally possible. And in the playoffs, like, that's what kills you.
Yeah.
Like,
Thomas could get burned on, like, two back cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be it for him for the series.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very short leashes.
Fair enough.
Probably Rondé. I think he'll probably trust Rondé the most.
Yeah.
Rondé just takes away a lot on the offense.
He does, man. The offense really just dies when he's out there.
It's really tough.
Last question from Matt. What are your thoughts on Matt and Leo's back and forth on air? It seems like they throw shade at each other a lot and then laugh it off.
Yeah, so this is something I've noticed for the past few seasons now.
Okay.
Is that I feel like... this will probably happen with me and you, too.
We throw shit at each other all the time.
No, just like as the season goes on, you just get tired of things,
Yeah.
Like, you can't be around that same person.
Sure. And it's, like, all the time on flights.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, for them. Like, cities. I see you, like, maybe, like, twice a week, three times a week.
All right.
And even sometimes, like, I just need a break,
Okay.
It was good when you went away for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Damn. All right. Those guys are feels like therapy.
Yeah.
Ugh, damn.
No, but I'm sure at the end of the day, it's just banter.
I'm sure they all love each other, man.
Seems but like I'm also sure they've gotten into, like, real fights behind the scenes.
Really?
Probably.
I mean, if you spend that much time around each other, I could see it. But
yeah,
also at the
it
same
happens.
Time, Leo said booger yesterday. He said Devin booger.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Wow. Yeah, no, I saw they were, like, shoving each other when they were on camera and stuff yesterday. So
yeah.
Sometimes it's playful, but, I'm sure there's something behind it.
Okay.
Leo's a good guy, though.
Sure.
Matt Devlin, too. But
is he a better guy than Malcolm Miller? Compare the guys in, wow, in niceness.
Can't wait to drop my 10,000-word feature on Malcolm Miller on the eve of the playoffs.
Just the good deeds that Malcolm Miller has done, like the Bible version.
Holy shit.
All right, Alex, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Anytime. I'm actually really tired.
What do you got to plug?
Nothing to plug. Let's just use this space to talk about Liverpool. So I became a Liverpool fan
about, and then they started losing,
about 9 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, I'll never walk alone again, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, they lost to a Watford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad performance.
Bad performance.
Remember last year when Serge Ibaka choked Marquise Chris?
Yeah.
And, and the Raptors lost by like 30 to the Cavaliers.
This is what it was?
This is what it was. Yeah.
And then didn't they lose the FA Cup game, or was it?
They did, yeah, to
Chelsea.
Against
Chelsea?
Yesterday.
Yeah. So what's going on here? Two straight losses?
Well, I mean, three, actually, because Atletico Madrid also beat them.
Oh, wow.
In Champions League in the first leg. Although, second leg, we're going to get them at Anfield.
Oh, we'll get them at Anfield.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
They're going to get clopped. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Good. I like that you have, like, six, like, go-to messages.
Yeah.
At any
Who's going to be the Mane of the match? Yeah.
Okay, all right, man.
but what's going on, though?
I'm only trying
to join winning programs. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not going to be part of a winning program, like, where should I take my fandom to?
Okay, first off, you can't be this much of a bandwagon. You just hopped on.
No.
Liverpool
is
the most successful team, pretty much.
Should I go to Man U as they're going through a downturn right now so I cannot be criticized when they come up again?
No. Okay. United is, you're just not going to enjoy watching United. I'm not going to lie to you.
What about,
they're just not playing great.
What about Everton?
Definitely don't join Everton, dog. That team is pathetic, honestly.
Tottenham?
Tottenham is in a transition period right now. They used to be pretty good. They were in the Champions League final last year, but, you know, this year they've gotten a lot of injuries and changed managers and stuff like that. But anyway, back to Liverpool. I mean, first off, Jordan Henderson, captain of the team.
Sure.
Kind of a guy who people hate on. People kind of think he's overrated and stuff.
He sounds American.
Okay, sure. He has a very, very heavy British accent or whatever.
You should have a Jordan Henderson award on your podcast.
Yeah, no Gerald Henderson anymore. Just Jordan Henderson, who shows the most heart with their backward passes. Basically, a lot of people thought Jordan Henderson was the Pat McCaw of basketball or of soccer.
Really?
Yeah, but that's not true at all. He's become a very, very good player. He's been a very, very important player. He's just a guy who like sets the intensity for the team. Imagine if the Raptors didn't have Kyle Lowry for a while, and they just played like, not that their ability slipped, it's just like their competitiveness.
So he's the heart and soul of the team.
Yeah, and he's been hurt, and he's been a big part of the team, and so that's sort of led to some of this result. Also, they're just tired, man. They play they play like three times a week. I don't understand how you do it, man. Like,
well, this is your audition for a soccer podcast.
Yeah,
you know,
listen,
I'm setting you up once again.
Mark. Yeah, this could happen, but they're just exhausted. And, you know, they don't sound like have a thin squad.
Yeah,
but you know, like a team like, you know, Manchester City, for example, they have like basically two like full rotations of guys that they can go through, and they can sort of shuffle them in.
Which is kind of insane, no?
It is insane. They're also one of the richest clubs in the world.
But aren't there players that are like, yo, why am I not playing?
Yes, definitely. But again, there's enough competitions.
But they're also getting
paid, but also there's enough competitions for everyone to shine. For Liverpool, it's just like there's a clear like top 11 guys, and then like when they miss guys, it's just very difficult to
replace
their
production. Wow, this is really like the Raptors right now.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so
they're going to repeat.
So they're going to cruise to the Premier League title. Is that what they call it?
Yes, right? Yes.
Is there like a cup that they lift, or is it a plate?
They lift a cup. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then
Champions League.
We'll get Atletico Madrid.
Second half.
Anfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the FA Cup? We out.
We're out.
That's it, eh?
No treble.
No treble.
Yeah. Do you know what a treble is?
Yeah. That's when they win the three, right?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Die hard fan here.
No, die hard.
By the way, SCP.
Since Michael Owen, yeah.
Liverpool got there's some Liverpool jerseys on sale at SCP right now, if you want.
Yeah. Do they have a throwback, Steven Gerrard? Yeah.
Okay. All right. That does it for the podcast. Watch Running Back with me and Alex. That does it for the show. Thanks to KOC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back next week.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.